Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StayScotts. We also have an Instagram account at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me in the Spotify green room, formerly known as Locker Room, at StayScotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. So the Yankees beat the A's 2 out of 3 this weekend. And considering how hot the A's were heading into this series, this is a very pleasant outcome. I'll have everything you need to know from the weekend. I'll even talk about the Jays series because I didn't get to talk about how it ended on Friday's show because that was my crossover with Jason Burke of Locked On A's. And I will talk about anything else that comes up while I'm recording the show. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. As I said at the top, I am pleasantly surprised that the Yankees beat the A's 2 out of 3. Not only that, they beat the A's 2 out of 3 after the A's came into this... I'm suddenly losing my voice. What happened? Oh, all right. It's back. Never mind. It's Monday. Things are happening. The A's were 12-2 in June heading into this series. And I believe they had a 7-game winning streak. They were on a roll coming into the series. They took the first game. That was really on Aaron Boone for not taking Wandy Peralta out before Tony Kemp could hit the home run. I saw it coming. I don't know if anyone else did. Although I didn't see it coming from Tony Kemp, who's adorable, by the way. Is he 5'4"? They say he's 5'7". I don't believe it at all, because he looked like he was about 5'4" every time he was at the plate. You know a guy is short when he's standing up at the plate and the catcher is crouching down behind the plate and they're the same height. But Kemp was a pain in the butt this weekend hitting home runs. So was Matt Olson. By the way, it was bothering me all Friday night. I was in the Spotify green room with a few people and we were watching the game together and talking about it. And Matt Olson, his face, he reminded me of an actor from the 80s who I can't think of right now. But he was one of those guys that was always in like TV movies and you always saw him, but he wasn't really a big star. I have to look it up. I don't know how I'm going to figure this out without knowing the guy's name, but that's who he reminded me of every time he came to the plate. But he's a big pain in the butt. I feel like the A's are the Rays of the West Coast. They're just annoying. It's all these guys that shouldn't be playing as well as they are, but they are, you know, because they're not really big name people. Just frustrating. But the fact that the Yankees took 2 out of 3, again, with the way they came into this series, that was good. Although the Yankees had a little bit of a streak themselves, and yes, the Blue Jays are kind of free-falling a bit, or at least they were heading into the Yankee series. You know, and the Blue Jays ran into some outs there. Their bullpen is horrible. Thank you, Blue Jays bullpen, for being that horrible. And, you know, so the it wasn't like the Yankees were coming into the series against the A's on a losing streak. They swept 3 games, and all in exciting fashion, all comeback fashion, which they did again this weekend in their 2 wins against the A's. The other thing that the Yankees keep doing is making triple plays. Yesterday's game ended on a triple play. I mean, Sean Murphy couldn't have hit it into the worst. I mean, he hit it into the worst spot. Gio Urshela was, what, a foot off third base. All he had to do was tap it with his foot, throw it to second, then they throw it to first, three outs. Murphy was out by at least two steps. I mean, it was just so quick. And Chapman is lucky that his team bailed him out yet again. Apparently, he has a broken fingernail on his pitching hand, and it's affecting him. And you know what? As someone who constantly breaks their nails all the time because I keep them long and then they like to break really low, I know how annoying it is to have a split fingernail on your hand. And I don't throw fastballs, and it's annoying. So I can't even imagine what it's like for a pitcher to have anything wrong with their fingernails. So I'll give him that benefit of the doubt. But my goodness, walking two guys, no outs, runners on first and second, they're only up 2-1. That was very scary, especially with Chapman, at least lately, where he looks either really good or really bad. And, you know, before the triple play, you're thinking, oh, here we go. And then thank you, Sean Murphy. Thank you so much. So it was very exciting. The way they won, and unbelievable. Since May 21st, the New York Yankees have turned three triple plays. They also had a triple play against the Jays last week. So that's two triple plays in a week, three in a month. And the other amazing stat with regards to that, the Arizona Diamondbacks in that same span since May 21st have only won two games. Yeah, let that sink in there. The Arizona Diamondbacks have won two games in a month. The Yankees have turned three triple plays in a month. This season is crazy. In a moment, we'll look at individual performances from the weekend. But first, stressed, tired, don't feel like cooking? Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially now, and with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage-baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Let's talk about Friday's game because that was the lone loss in this series. Jameson Taillon pitched 4 2/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs on 4 hits. He had 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, gave up a home run because God forbid... Well, it was Matt Olson. Matt Olson is a pain in the butt. He was hitting home runs all weekend. He had 18 coming into Friday's game. And it was the first inning with 2 outs, which was so frustrating because Taillon looked fine for the first 2 batters. And then he gives up the home run. And that's what's frustrating about watching Tyone pitch. It almost feels like Phil Hughes pitching again. He would get someone to 0-2, then walk them, get someone to 0-2, give up a home run, get someone to 0-2 with two outs, give up a home run. It's just so frustrating to watch. Now, he wasn't terrible by any means, but the whole only lasting 4 2/3, throwing 76 pitches, that's a problem. Although the biggest problem on Friday night was Aaron Boone leaving Wandy Peralta in for too long. I saw that home run coming. I could feel it. I thought, why is he still in? And as I said, I wasn't expecting it from Tony Kemp. I was expecting it from someone else. Yeah, he was batting eighth, so I assumed that something bad was going to happen. Maybe Elvis Andrews, who was batting ninth, or even Mark Canna, who was batting first. Like, I thought maybe at some point, but I don't know. It felt like Peralta was in there for too long. It felt like Boone didn't take him out fast enough. That also happened on Saturday with Herman, but it worked out for the Yankees. Thank God for Nestor Cortes Jr. and his mustache. We'll get into that in a bit. As for the Yankees batters on Friday night, let's see, they only had four hits, so they weren't exactly hitting the cover off the ball, though DJ LeMahieu hit his fifth home run of the year, which was nice. Odor hit his seventh home run of the year. Both those home runs came off of Caprillion. Odor's gave the Yankees a lead, a 3-2 lead, and then Oakland came right back and scored those three runs on the Tony Kemp home run. And then the Yankees couldn't do anything the rest of the game, lose 5-3. And because the Yankees weren't hitting a lot, the team RISP, runners in scoring position, 0-2. And they only left two on base because no one was getting on base. Stanton worked a walk. Gardner worked a walk. That was it. Two walks. Strikeouts, they had 9. So, not great. Then, on Saturday, let's talk about Domingo Herman. Because, as I said, Boone kept him in too long. He really did. It was almost like, what are you doing? Why aren't you taking him out now? And so he pitched 4 innings, gave up 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs. The last home run was the, could have been the dagger for the Yankees, but it wasn't. Again, thanks to Nestor Cortes Jr. So the home run, first inning off Herman was Kemp, again, pain in the butt. And Matt Chapman was the one that hit it in the fourth. So, I don't know, just ridiculous. Now, Oakland was 2-10 with runners in scoring position on Saturday, which helped the Yankees out. Now, the Yankees, good God, they were 4-16 with runners in scoring position. They had 11 hits on the day. Frazier had 2 hits, Stanton had 2 hits, Urshela had 2 hits, LeMahieu had 1, Sanchez had 1. Just 4-16 with runners in scoring position. I mean, I knew it was bad. I was watching it, but just to see that in the box score? My God. So Nestor Cortes Jr., after Herman pitches those 4 innings, gives up the 4 runs. He comes in, pitches 3 innings, only gives up a hit, gives up 1 walk, strikes out 3. So it wasn't like he was dominant, but he did what he needed to do. He kept the Yankees in the game. Chad Green came in, pitched an inning, struck out 3. Chapman comes in, pitches an inning, gives up 2 hits and a run, a walk, and 2 strikeouts. So the Yankees win that 7-5. And as I said, Gary Sanchez, 11th home run of the year. Urshela hit his 9th home run of the year. Now, Saturday was the game when Urshela nearly knocked his eye out with the bat shard, yes? So, that was scary. And finally, let's talk about yesterday. Father's Day. What a gift for the Yankee fans who were dads. 2-1. Yankees only had 3 hits. They struck out a lot yesterday. 15 strikeouts. Let's see. Did everyone have a strikeout? No. Sanchez did not strike out, and Andujar didn't strike out. LeMahieu had 1, Judge had 3, Stanton had 2, Torres had 2, Urshela had 3, Gittens had 2, Clint Frazier had 2. As for the hits, LeMahieu, Sanchez, that's it. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people weren't happy about that. You know, not happy about the fact that they only had 3 hits. They had 15 strikeouts. They were 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They left 3 on base. They only had 2 walks. It wasn't a good day at the plate for the Yankees, but big hits coming off the bat of Gary Sanchez and DJ LeMahieu. So, well, no, Gary Sanchez. He's the one who drove in the 2 runs. It's just so funny. Jordan Montgomery. Let's talk about him. He started the game. He came in with a 4.20 ERA and 69 strikeouts. So, of course, everyone made fun of that because we're all like 12-year-olds. But he pitched 5 1/3, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, 6 strikeouts, 1 home run. Matt Olson in the first inning, because Matt Olson is a pain in the butt. So he now has 20 home runs on the year. And Loaisiga got the win. He's doing really well for the Yankees. Pitched 1 2/3, got a walk and a strikeout. Lucas Lecky, another person who's really helping out the Yankees. He pitched an inning, gave up a hit, got a strikeout. And then Chapman comes in, walks the first 2 batters he faces. And then the triple play. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Poor Sean Murphy. Like I said, Gio Urshela, did I say it here or did I say it somewhere else? Gio Urshela was about a foot off third, so all he had to do was really just reach out his foot, tap it, throw it. 3 triple plays in a month. I joked on Twitter that 2009 was the year of the walk-off, and 2021 will be the year of the triple play. In a moment, I'll have everything you need to know that's going on with the Yankees. There is news, actually. Nothing pressing, but it's good news. Anyway, before we get to that, let me talk about Built Bar. I am out of Built Bars. I need to order them. Actually, I'm probably going to do that right after I'm done recording because I miss them. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. Me, mint brownie. I always talk about mint brownie. The other flavors are coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, I suggest you get a mixed box where you get 2 of each and you can figure out what you like best. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, high in taste. So good. I would not steer you wrong. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, mint brownie. If you like chocolate and you like mint, my goodness, that bar is delicious. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. After yesterday's game, Chris Gittens was sent down to make room for Luke Voit, who will be making his return just in time for the Royals series that begins tomorrow night. The Royals beat the Red Sox this weekend in their series. The Rays were swept by the Mariners, and they even lost on a walk-off grand slam. So the Rays are reeling. I think they've lost 7 in a row, 6 in a row. And now the Rays and the Red Sox will be playing each other this week. So that's something to look out for. I know, it still feels kind of early to be scoreboard watching, but the Yankees are making some strides here, winning 5 out of 6, while the other teams are faltering a little bit. So things are becoming the way I had envisioned them before the season began. Let's hope the Yankees stay on a roll. Now, not only is this the year of the triple play for the Yankees, but they've had a bunch of comeback wins this week. And it's always good to see that. Saturday's game was a good one. And they did it in a lot of different ways. They got big hits. They got productive outs. That's what you want to see. Yesterday's game, they got the big hit from Gary Sanchez. Thank goodness, because again, 15 strikeouts, only 3 hits. Just not a good offensive performance by the Yankees. The pitching was good. And that's what's been happening. I think I saw a stat and now I can't remember what it is. Damn it. The Yankees, I think, have the most wins in which they've scored 2 or fewer runs. And I think they're tied with another team. And I have to look that up. I don't remember who tweeted it, but it's something to that effect. And I mean, we've seen it. There was that stretch where they kept winning games, even though the offense wasn't doing anything because the pitching was keeping them in the game. Can we get everything working at the same time, guys? Can we get the pitching to be strong, especially the starters? not named Gerrit Cole. By the way, Gerrit Cole pitching tomorrow night. Today is the day that the foreign substance mandate, or whatever the hell it is, goes into effect. Umpires will be able to stop a guy, basically search him, make sure he doesn't have foreign substances on him, and if they think he does, they can kick his ass out of a game. I know the umps aren't very happy about this. I know I'm not happy about it because I don't trust MLB umpires as far as I can throw them because they can't call balls and strikes. How are they supposed to determine whether or not a guy has an actual foreign substance and it's not a mixture of rosin and sweat and sunscreen accidentally? Whew, this might be bad. It might be bad. I know I keep saying that, but I really feel like it could be a disaster waiting. And this is all happening just in time for labor strife. I could see a lockout happening or something to that effect. There's going to be a work stoppage in 2022. I feel it in my bones because MLB and the Players Association, there's a lot of stuff going down between them. And this whole having to start this foreign substance crackdown in the middle of a season is not sitting well with the players. And it really shouldn't. As I keep saying, this has been a problem for a while. They should have done this at the beginning of the season. Really. And I know people will say, well, the pitcher shouldn't be cheating. Is it really cheating when everyone's doing it? No, it's not. And if some guys aren't doing it and aren't smart enough to do it, I'm just kidding. Lindsay Adler posted a picture of what spider tack looks like on a ball, although she said that she used a bunch of it. But still, that stuff is amazingly tacky. And I don't understand how someone hasn't accidentally ripped an eyebrow off using that stuff. But I just don't agree with it being in the middle of the season. That's just silly. Like Tyler Glasnow said, I'm envisioning guys getting hurt. I'm envisioning umpires not doing the right thing and being angry about it because, again, they don't want to do this. MLB is just screwing with everyone this year. Apparently, that's their mission. Before I go, let me give you some programming notes. I will preview the Royals series tomorrow, mainly because we don't have any pitching matchups anyway, and it starts tomorrow night. So tomorrow's show will be a preview of the Royals series and anything else that happens surrounding the Yankees. Can I just talk about how disappointed I was this weekend? It was reopening weekend. The Yankees were allowing as many fans into the stands as they could, and no one was there. What is going on, people? Don't you want to see them play? They just finished sweeping the Blue Jays up in Buffalo. They were playing a series. I know it's the A's, but the A's were a good team. I was very disappointed that there weren't more people in the stands. I would have figured that people would be so excited. You know, some people who hadn't been to a baseball game since 2019 would head out to the stadium at some point this weekend and see a game. Not that it was empty, but I was expecting a lot more people. Let's go through the attendance numbers. Okay, Friday night, 24,037. Not terrible, but not as many as I thought. I figured people would be so excited that they could go to the stadium, not have to worry about things, and it just didn't happen that way. Saturday, 23,985, and yesterday, ooh, better, 27,807. Probably because it was Father's Day. I know a few guys that went with their children to the game yesterday, so that's probably why there was an uptick in attendance. And also, it sounded very loud when the triple play happened. It actually sounded a lot louder than 27,807, so good job on that. But I still would like to see more people in there, at least 30 to 35,000. Can we do that this week at some point? I know it's the Royals, but the Yankees are playing better, and they like playing in front of everyone, so get behind your boys. So I'm going to end the show with an apology to the Yankees. I apologize for thinking that these two series against the Jays and the A's were going to be really tough for you. I was envisioning disaster, and you won 5 out of 6. So thank you for that. I like being wrong in this instance, and keep it up. For now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.